This realization is about the reality of God. The reality of where we really are. You know, we perceive this around us, what we see, from just carnal senses, from them five senses. We perceive this as a reality, as with the bounds within where we live. But God wants you to come away with another perception today. A perception from the Spirit. Because what God counts, and this is so important, what God counts as your reality is your reality, whether you see it or not. This is why we have faith, is that it will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That the truth of heaven, the way God sees things, will be manifested here to us on earth. God wants you to come away with that reality today, the reality of faith. You know, we've talked about before how the realm of the future, the realm of faith, and the realm of heaven are really all the same place. Because they're all unseen, and it's what God has determined will be. And so, therefore, it is in heaven. We must realize that grain of mustard seed of faith that we see down here is a tree, a mighty tree, in the realm of heaven. We must start to tap into the reality of what heaven is. Now, I want you to make a comparison, and this is a hard concept. I want you to pray as we're going about this today, because this concept is one of the Spirit, and it is not one of the flesh. It tells us in Romans 8, and I'm going to read it in order. Now there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Now where is this true? Let's look at the what we take for reality and the reality of the Spirit. Where is this true? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. We're set free from that law. But yet, hold on. People still die. Christians still die. We're set free from the law of sin and death, and yet Christians still die. I want you to keep that thought in mind. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. It's accomplished. Did. Past tense. God did by sending His own Son. What the law was powerful to do because of the weakness of flesh, the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now, this, see, I want you to understand how Romans 8 here is kind of going back and forth from past tense, present tense, and future tense. It's covering all three of those. There is now, present tense, no condemnation. The no condemnation is now in the present tense for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ Jesus now, there is no condemnation now. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. Has. You have been set free, it speaks of. For where the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Now that's done. That was the past. Jesus did that. So now, there is no condemnation for those who now walk after the Spirit. Now, those who are living according to the sinful nature now have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. That's now. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. But it goes all the way toward the end of the chapter, toward the end of this part of the subject, and tells us the Spirit Himself testifies, verse 16, that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs. Heirs is the future. Heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. Future. So I wanted you to see the past, present, and future the way it's described here in Romans 8. Because what we have now, we have through faith. And that faith is in the future of what will be. What God has promised, He will keep. You don't actually see it in your hand right now, do you? And when it speaks of you as being dead to sin, you can still see that body of death in the mirror, can't you? When it speaks of you as being free from the law of sin and death, you still know this body must die. It's still a future thing. Now, why is it all messed up like this? Why is it, I'm not messed up, but mixed around? Let me tell you something about faith and about God and about the way He does things. You know, nothing has changed except what Jesus changed. You know, right now, nothing will change for you from what you already believe. I want you to see this. It's a difficult concept. It's a difficult concept. What we have now is we consider this body dead because of sin and our spirit alive because of Christ. Let me tell you what I mean by nothing's going to change when you die. Because your spirit is going to be in heaven with God, right? And your body's going to be in the ground, actually dead. So what you consider now, when you die, will be the same as what you considered. Now, all those that are apart from God, all men who are apart from God, he who has the Son is not condemned. He who has not the Son is condemned already. All in Adam are already considered what? Dead. Them dying now and going to hell is just already a fulfillment of what they're already considered. Them dying now is just a fulfillment of what they were already considered. Think about it. What Jesus gives us is a change in our predestination. What Jesus brings us is a change in our predestination. Because the predetermination for all men in Adam is death and separation from God. The predestination, the predetermination for all people in Christ is life eternal through the power of His resurrection. But Jesus showed us the path, how you have to die to one in order to live to the other. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. to also share in His glory, you must share in His sufferings. Now, part of you is considered dead, no matter what. The body is considered dead, and the spirit is considered alive. I want you to see that your perceptions of being here on this earth and alive does not change what God has already called to be as if it was. Your perception is, now, if you believe the scripture as a Christian, your body is dead because of sin and your spirit is alive. Well, when you die, I'm not talking about when the resurrection comes yet. When you die right now, what will happen? It'll be the fulfillment of what you already believe. Your spirit will go to be with Jesus. To be absent from the body is present with the Lord. And your body will absolutely go into the ground, this body of death, this corruption. See, what you believe is already predetermined to be. And so it is now. Can you start to see something about what faith is? Now, let's look at what it says in Hebrews 11, what faith is. It is the evidence of things not seen. It is the substance of things hoped for. It's a reality. You see, reality doesn't have a whole lot to do with your perception. It has to do more with faith. Because your perceptions cannot change your reality. A carnal man may perceive that he is alive, but by God's word he is dead. Is that not true? Which would you believe? God's word or your perceptions that you're alive? A Christian is called to walk in faith, to believe what God has called to be true. He's called to walk in faith that God will bring him the resurrection of the dead, though it doesn't yet appear. So he believes what he cannot see, doesn't he? And it's more real to him than what he perceives. And this is an important point. Now we come to what God said in 1 Corinthians 2. No eye has seen. Speaking of the carnal eye. No ear has heard. Speaking of the carnal ear. And no mind has conceived. Speaking of the carnal mind. What God has laid up for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us, it says, verse 10, by His Spirit. See, it's not your perceptions that you count on. And we have a whole world full of people walking by the corruption of their own perception. And we have a whole lot of Christians who are tempted to walk only by what they see, hear, and feel. Then what is true? You see, what is true is what God's Word says is true, not what we perceive. How many of you know that there's really no difference between walking in faith that your body is dead because of sin and your spirit is alive between righteousness? There's really no difference in those things than your body actually being in the ground and your spirit actually being with God. There's really no difference. The only difference is your perception of where you are. Because a man that's still walking on the face of this earth is still determined to dust to return. If he carries the picture of Adam. This is why the mind of the sinful man is death. He only lives by the corruption of his own perceptions. Not God's perceptions, his. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The only way you can see a true hope and Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's through the revelation of Christ that comes by the mind of Christ, not by the mind of carnal man. Now, how many of you understand? Now, this is a fairly deep subject, but how many of you understand what we're really getting at here? You cannot call what you see by the perceptions of flesh your reality. That is not your reality. This isn't your home. This isn't your home. Here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city which is to come. You have already, by accepting Christ, turned your back on what this reality is. By turning to God through Jesus Christ, you have already turned your back on this reality and proclaimed it to not be your reality. Because those who walk according to this reality are sinful-minded, carnal-minded, and they will perish. Because everything in this reality passes away. Now think of it, everything that can be seen can and will be destroyed. And guess what? That's not just its eventuality. That's God's determination that it will pass away. Everything that is seen can and will be destroyed. There's not a single thing you can see. And so what is the destiny of the things that can be seen? Destruction. We must put on the image of the God who is not seen. We must put on the resurrection of the dead into a body that will be made spiritual, even though it's tangible. We must put on Christ and put off Adam. We must quit depending upon Adam's perceptions and believe God's perceptions. This is what it means to understand what it is to walk by faith. It is to walk by the mind of Christ in spite of everything that you see that says contrary. Because the things that you see are contrary to the things of the Spirit, aren't they? The things the carnal man thinks, the things the carnal man sees, the thing the carnal man hears, the things the carnal man believes are all contrary to the ways of the Spirit and the ways of God. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and higher are my ways than your ways. Are you starting to get an idea? Too long we have trusted perceptions that are not based in truth. Whenever you think that the here and now of this flesh is your reality, you've missed the whole point of what Christianity is. Paul could turn his back on this body of flesh and say, beat it! Lock it up! Don't feed me! Hey, give me a bunch of stuff or take away all my stuff. It don't matter. I can abound, I can be abased, it doesn't matter. Because, you know, my hope and my life and my reality is not in this flesh. I don't care if you feed me. I don't care if you beat me. I don't care if you bury me. As long as I'm in this flesh, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm paying attention to Him. It's more helpful, Paul said, for me to be in this flesh than out of it, for your sake. But yet, my desire is to be totally with God. Now, look at that. Which reality was Paul living in? Now let's take it to the pure eventuality. Someone greater than Paul, Jesus. Jesus never lived this life in this world for himself. When he came down as a man, his life was totally dedicated to the Father, and he had no respect for this life for himself. He lived totally according to this pattern. Others first. You know, God very first, others next. And I don't even enter into it. He lived this life totally for God. He never took a wife. He never built him a house. He never planted him a vineyard. He never started him a business. He didn't ever get a bank account or an IRA. He realized that this life here was nothing but to lay back down to God. And he learned that through suffering. And before it was over with, it doesn't matter. Not my will, Lord, but yours. It doesn't matter. Take it from me. Beat me. Hang me on the cross. Do whatever you want. But no, you're not taking it from me. I laid it down. I already gave it away. I considered myself dead already. Hello? And that's what you were called to. You will share in His glory if you share in His sufferings. That's what you're called to. What is your reality? If your reality is based on how much money you got in the bank, if your reality is based on where your next paycheck or meal is going to come from, if your reality is based upon the things that you see and the people who love you, then you've missed the point of what Christianity is. It should be just as Jesus said, God first, others next, and we come last. We lay down this life as a living sacrifice because we are respecters of a greater reality. Our true lives are hidden with Christ in that reality, and we all confess that, don't we? But if you live for this reality, you will perish with this reality. If you live for the flesh, you'll perish with the flesh. But if you live with God, you'll perish according to the flesh to live forever with Christ. You see the difference? The only way to life is through death. It can be taken from you, your life, or you can lay it down. And this is what it means. If you hate your life, you'll find it. But if you love your life, you're going to lose it. For the people who love the world and the things of the world are in love with this reality and do not respect a greater one. Now, we as Christians claim already through faith to live in that realm of the unseen. So what you've got to ask yourself, is that a true confession? If your actions say differently, you may want to rethink what your Christianity is about. Because only in Christ will we ever see that realm. And like Him, we must follow our Master's design and lay it down. Do not trust the senses or the corruption of the carnal, because it is corrupting and passing away. And the devil's goal is to take you with it when it does. Can you see this? Can you see what we're talking about? If we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. That's our gospel. Amen? It's a good place to stop. Any questions or comments?